sky so blue. With birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Also, your text questions at 57500. We are also joined today by Andy Stevenson. He's the general manager at J&J Garden Center, where the annual tomato sale is underway. And we are talking tomatoes this morning. I got to tell you, we probably have 8 or 9, maybe even 10 text questions about tomatoes this morning. So the first question right now that many of our listeners are concerned about is how early can they plant tomatoes? They want to buy them now, but what do they need to be aware of if they're going to put them in the ground right now? And maybe, Andy, you go ahead and talk about that.
So the best thing to do is look at your night temperatures. Now, I just looked at mine, and the next 10 nights show that we're okay. Now, that kind of depends on where you live. I'm just looking here in the Layton Davis County area. But if you want to plant now, which is fine, the thing you want to do is just make sure you watch those temperatures. In case it does cold, you want to be prepared to go cover them up. Now, you can use wall waters, hot caps. I've seen old garbage cans, 5-gallon buckets. I've seen milk cartons, anything like that, just to protect them, that little bit of frost off of them. Tomatoes are fairly tough. The ones that we've been growing here right now, we're actually growing in buildings that have no heat in them to strengthen them and harden them up for you. So when you get them, they're ready to go right out in the garden.
Ton, the next big question is about tomato cages. Producers don't use them. Are they useful at home? Also, what are those white pithy parts that were in so many tomatoes last year?
Well, there's a lot to unpack on that one. Tomato cages, it honestly depends on what the quality of cage you buy. And if you get a good, sturdy cage that you can put into the ground that's anchored, they're fabulous, especially for the homeowner that has 3 or 4 tomatoes. It's a lot less work putting a tomato cage into the ground than building up a trellis like I described earlier. But if you have a lot of tomatoes, I really like the trellis system. It just makes it faster to pick, and then it shades those a little bit. Now, the pithy tomatoes from last year, that's a condition caused by excessive heat called coring. And I've seen more of it the last few years in certain varieties. Celebrity seems to be resistant to it, and a number of others, but we do see it in times where we have temperatures in the high 90s for a long time. And so if you have that coring, it's probably going to be back the next year. It's not a disease per se, but it's just more caused by weather conditions. And so I would switch your varieties. Now, I don't know if Andy, I've grown a lot of tomatoes over the last several years for trialing plots, and Celebrity gets very little coring. And then another one from Johnny's called BHN 1021, I was really impressed with because it has yields very similar to Celebrity. It didn't have the coring and it didn't crack due to the weather. And so that's another one that's a fairly uncommon variety, and it may be you have to seed it yourself, but I really was impressed with that BHN 1021 because it performed for a number of years very well.
We wanted to talk about some of the problems that tomatoes do face and how to maybe avoid those problems. What is the most common problem that we do see with tomato plants?
Disease-wise, and Andy, you can chip in here too. Disease-wise, probably a disease called curly top. It's spread by actually a little insect called beet leaf hopper, and it's a virus that gets into younger tomatoes and eventually kills them. And so what you'll see is in a row or a patch of tomatoes, you oftentimes, let's say you have 20, and sometime in mid-June, early July, you'll see that 3 or 4 of them are yellow and stunted. And it's called curly top because the leaves curl up a little bit before the plant just gradually declines. And what's happened are leaf hoppers or aphids have fed on those plants and then moved to another one and spread the virus in. And once it's in there, you can't get rid of it, but it also generally doesn't spread by tomato-to-tomato contact. So if you see it, then I would recommend roguing those plants out.
Are there things we can do to avoid having problems like that with our tomatoes?
Well, curly top is harder because the beet leafhopper, even if you put an insecticide down, it only takes one or two strikes or feedings from those to spread the virus. And so about the only thing you can do for this particular one, and it's not like it's like widespread, it's just kind of hit and miss, is to cover your tomatoes with floating row cover through June to exclude the beet leaf hopper, and then later on you can take it off.
Right. A lot of people are interested in your trellis system. So what we're going to do, Caitlin and I have been kind of scheming here, Ton. We're going to put that portion of the interview or your comments about how you do trellis tomatoes on our Facebook page, the audio portion, so people can go back and listen to that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And then Caitlin and I are going to come out and we're going to actually do a video on how you do that because we just have so much interest in it. Did sound fascinating. I am definitely interested in how you trellis your tomatoes as well.
We can definitely do that. And we'll wear paper bags over our head with an eye hole. So nobody knows
apart.
It's off. Yeah, it's us.
Right. Okay. Before we get to our callers, I do want to talk about the annual tomato sale that is underway at J&J Garden Center. And I'm wondering, just for a second, Andy, you're talking about the plants that you have on sale today for $2.25, these are in big pots. And what kind of difference does it make when you plant plants that are larger than when you plant small plants?
Well, one of your main advantages is those typically the plants can be bigger. Now, you can find, and we have it here too, there's some of our varieties that are in smaller containers that might be a little bit taller. But the one advantage you get is you get a larger root system. And what we tell people when planting a tomato, regardless of the height, you're best to plant those tomatoes deep enough that you start covering a good portion of your stem anyways. And if you notice on a tomato, there's these little fine hairs, these roots, or these little, like it's frog hair almost, mm-hmm. It's a fine. But those will actually convert into roots if you'll plant up that stem. So regardless of the size and height, plant up the stem a little bit. It does two things, better root system, and it also will provide you some sturdiness with the weather conditions in case of wind or something like that.
As an essential service, helping people provide food for their families, you have taken extra steps to make sure that people are safe and your employees are safe during this pandemic.
Yes, we have. So start to finish, we've moved the tomatoes in different areas. So we have a big, large section outside on trailers to shop off of. We have them in their regular location in the back. That'll spread out the customers. We're doing our best to maintain that 6-foot distancing. We're also sanitizing every shopping cart as it comes and goes. And then they're sanitizing all the countertops and their credit card readers after every transaction. So you get a good fresh. We've got employees that want to wear their masks. They're all, most of them, you'll see 99% are probably all wearing gloves. We've opened up extra check stands out in front of the store outside so we can eliminate the lines and all that kind of stuff. Start to finish, we're doing a whole bunch of things down here to meet the guidelines of the health department. We're in contact with them weekly, about every other day. They come down and do inspections. They say that we're doing really good and we're meeting those guidelines. We're doing our best, and we just wanted to thank our customers, too, for your efforts and what you're doing in also maintaining a safe and healthy environment for us as employees and also for other customers.
Right. The tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Centers through the week, right?
Yes, it goes until Saturday. That's okay. The tentative date.
And you're open until 8 o'clock.
Yep, 8 to 8 right now.
Okay, again, the annual tomato sale underway at J&J Garden Centers. We're going to be taking your calls when we come back. John, you're going to be first up. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Marie and Ton taking your questions at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are joined by Andy Stevenson, who is the general manager at J&J Garden Centers, where the annual tomato sale is underway. Let's go to our phone lines and go to Salt Lake. Let's take a call from John. Good morning, John. What can we help you with this morning?
I've got two questions. First one is I purchased an older house and it has some really good flower beds, but they are fully encroached with grass. They've got some nice rose bushes and other plants. What do I do to kill the grass and not the plants? Second question is I have a really nice old grapevine. I don't know what it is, Concord, and it's on a trellis. But what do I do to trim that and to make it so I can harvest some grapes?
Well, going back to your bed that was full of grass, what else is in there?
You've got some rose bushes. You've got a couple of bushes that are a green leaf with a flower. It's almost like a poppy, but it's not a poppy. It's kind of a round bald or red. I don't know the name of the plant.
Well, as long as
it's probably about a foot high.
Yeah, if they're interspersed among the roses themselves, you're going to have to just hand pull at the base of the roses. But you will be able to spray or very carefully put a weed killer in between the plants and kill everything else out. And so that's the one advantage. And so if you had like a Roundup type product, you could go in there with just a little pump sprayer, or even when I talked about earlier, putting a long rubber glove on and then a cotton glove on top of that and just rubbing the plants so you can stay away from the roses a little bit to kill them out, would be something you could do. No, because glyphosate's not soil active. It needs to be applied to living tissue, such as leaves. And so as long as you keep it off the roses, then it won't get them. And so if there's enough space, you could even get like a little half gallon or like a 2 liter or a 1 liter sprayer that you can just mix small amounts up and do a very detailed application, almost like you're spray painting. Now, as far as your grapevine, what's it trellised up on? Is it just a fence, or what do you have?
It's it's like a 6 foot vinyl trellis. It's kind of a U shape.
Okay, and how old is the grape? Did we lose you? How old is the grape?
Oh, I have no idea. It's probably could be 15, 20 years old.
Okay, and do you think there's any danger of that grape plant collapsing the trellis because it's PVC?
No, it's pretty sturdy. It's leaning a little bit, but I went out and shook it, and it's pretty sturdy.
Okay, so as long as you're sure it's braced well and can support the weight, it becomes a little bit difficult because you want the grape to provide you shade and ornament, but for true fruit production, you actually whack it back pretty hard. And so what I would probably do is just go ahead and observe the vines. And when you see that the leaf buds are coming out, just take out the dead vines and see if that works. You'll still get grapes on it. They won't be quite as big, but you'll get a lot of them that'll be tasty.
All right, John, thanks for your call and for your patience. Our next texter asking, how well do calla lilies do in Utah?
Andy, do you want to take this one?
You know, calla lilies are kind of fun. We have another supplier that gives us ours, but we start getting them more towards around Mother's Day. They do pretty good. Just remember that they're really not considered a perennial here. They're an annual. They look really good for, you know, during those summer months, but just know that they're going to freeze and most people will go in and replant new every year.
All right, let's take a call from Ray and Sandy. Good morning, Ray.
Today. So I just have a question. I accidentally, I was really ambitious and I was trying to get my lawn ready for spring, and I accidentally fed my lawn the wrong fertilizer. I actually put in weed and grass stopper And so then I just started seeing some brown spots all over my lawn. I was wondering if there's something I can do to save my lawn, maybe with Scotts, or is there another fertilizer?
Weed and Grass Stopper, do you have the package handy?
Yes, it's a high yield. It says high yield turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper.
What's the active ingredient in it?
I think it's a herbicide.
Well, it is. And I want to find out if it's a ground sterilant. If it's a ground sterilant, there's not going to be much you can do.
Okay.
But if it's like a pre-emergent, then you could. I'm looking it up right now just so I can see if I can get a label. And we'll see what it is. But if it's ground sterilant, you're out of luck until the actual stuff expires. Now, most of the time, these homeowner products are one season only. Dithiopyr and blood 4 weeks later in pre-emergent control crabgrass suppression. Okay, so it is not a ground sterilant. So you're in luck.
Okay.
And it just has Dimension in it, which is basically a crabgrass preventative. So I would just go ahead and go with it. Don't do anything. And next time you need to fertilize in a couple of months, go ahead and do it.
Okay. Should I just water it? Or
if it was over-applied, it would create those brown spots. And fortunately, with your sandy soil, if it was over-applied, as we get rain and snow, heaven forbid, and you irrigate, a lot of that excess fertilizer will wash through rather quickly than what you would have with a clay if it was over-fertilized.
All right, Ray, good luck on that. And Ton, good quick research there as well. And you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show, the annual plant sale underway at J&J Garden Center. We'll talk more about tomatoes and take all of your questions coming up following the news right here on the Greenhouse.